If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Underneath breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grimerica Show. Coming at you this week with the one and only Tom Matt with some hallucinations that aren't hallucinations, like realinations, or I don't know what you call them, but it made me think of the Final Fantasy movie from back in the day, not the video games. I didn't play the video game, so I don't know, but I did watch the shitty movie a few times. For some reason, I liked it when I went through a phase where I really liked that movie. And then I tried watching it again years later, and I was like, this is retarded. But anyway, that's what it made me think of. And it's pretty neat chat. I think you guys will like it. Of course, there's always a timestamp in the show notes if you guys don't want to listen to this. If you want to skip all this, just go right to the interview. Someone just gave us a 1-star review because of our lazy rambles. And it's like, yeah, obviously you didn't read the show notes. So
yeah,
you got to get that out. There's always a timestamp in the show notes that you can just skip right.
You know, was that probably for the Randall app or something? Right? They wanted to just hear Randall right away.
These bozos won't shut the fuck up. Anyway, we got everybody's favorite podcaster, Graham Zebra Coach Dunlop.
Well, it's interesting because the
coach back there, you doing some OnlyFans stuff?
Yeah, it's the casting coach. Yeah. So this interesting.
Is that why you can get in shape for your OnlyFans?
How'd you know I was getting in shape?
Well, I see you all the time, and you're like, you know,
like doing my
hips are getting small. You don't have boobs anymore, and
losing a little bit of weight. Yeah,
you look less disheveled all the time.
I haven't had dessert for 3 months now. I haven't had dessert in 3 months.
So, when you say dessert, do you mean like as a meal, part of a meal, or do you mean like any sort of dessert?
Any sort. So, like sugary treats at all? Nothing. Like no chocolate bars. No nothing for 3 months.
I could do that. I don't really do a lot of chocolate bars. I like chips. I like chips. They're a big weakness.
None of that. Even the only thing I have is beef. Bacon crisps.
But wait, was
no. Sorry, pork. What are they called again? The pork rind. Yeah, those. That's all I have, man.
They're not very good, though.
I know, but
I've tried so many different flavors, and they all suck.
No, I'm enjoying it.
No, you, I bet you are. I mean, you should be enjoying it. You look good. You look like good. You look less shitty.
Yeah, but the weight is just stalled, though, dude.
I told you, man. I've been warning you. That
after like 14 pounds, 13 pounds, it just stopped.
I told you that you were getting to an age where where every year is just going to get harder pound for pound once you get to it.
And I haven't had sugar, I haven't had those sugary treats in 3 months, and I'm not getting enough cardio, obviously. So, but I'm working out a little bit, I'm trying to stay physical, and it's still just, dude, now the work getting this last bit of weight off is going to be insanely hard.
I don't do enough cardio either, honestly.
Yeah, but you're busy enough physically in your job and in your hunting and all your chore, the stuff you do around the house. Like you're physically busy enough. I'm not as physically busy enough.
I'm going to start my hands finally. It's not better. It's going to be another 6 months before this hand is back to me. Because here's the problem is now it's like better to the point where I can do 90% of my shit without noticing it. So I stopped really caring about stretching it. They kicked me out of physio because I did too many no-shows because I work for a living. I kind of knew I was going to get kicked out of the last one. I was like scrambling across town to get to it. And I was just like, what was the point of this? I can just do these stretches myself at this point. And because, you know, even in when I was going to physio twice a week, it was clear that it was just like a stretching thing. Now there's nothing else going on. It's just a stretching thing. I just got to stretch it out. It's going to take a long time. And I was even like, well, it seems like after, like, it was in March, at the beginning of March, I was like, it seems like it's taking forever. And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, you got, you're halfway there, maybe, if you're lucky.
It's wow.
To get even the swelling is, I mean, it's still swollen, dude.
So you're talking about your dislocated. So Darren dislocated his finger, just for people that don't know. And
he's, you're new here
on the long rehab train.
That was in November, dude. November 5th. Yeah. So anyway, it mostly works until you go to do something weird and you're like, oh, that finger doesn't bend like that. My hand still doesn't work properly. But it's at the point where I can do most of my stuff. Like, I can still do more. I still work harder than most people with.
Right, actually. Yeah. Well, before I forget, too, Tom and us, we discussed drugs in the show too, because he's a recovering addict as well. I mean, his phenomena kind of started after he got clean and sober, and then he slipped for, I think, a year or two, and I think it was after that. I think it happened, or no, maybe it happened during. No, yeah, it happened during, and then he quit, and it kept happening after he quit. But anyways, today is a big day for me. March 25th, 2008 is my sobriety date.
Oh, today's your clean day?
16 years. Today's my clean day. Yeah, 16.
And here 16 I was years. Just smoking weed in front of you.
And you know, yeah, that's okay. You know, so
weed in front of you for 11 years. 15
I know.
Years.
Isn't that weird? That's what I was just going to say. Isn't that weird that I've been podcasting for 11 of the 16? Like, that seems very strange, because it felt like I had a ton of sobriety when we started.
I feel like I helped you out because you were getting hot boxed. So it helped you take the edge off when those critical years where you might have lived up. You're just getting a little hot. You're like, man, this podcast is great. I love it. I like the podcast.
There's something dragging me back to that studio.
There's a lot of recoverers in the chat or in the podcast community for us. And in the podcast creator community too, it seems. So
yeah, there is. Yeah.
I'm not in recovery, but you know, I did quit doing stuff. So
but I would like to do an episode on harm reduction and abstinence and all that, because there's a huge push in Alberta right now to get rid of the tent cities and get people into some help, right? Like, really,
it seems like the direction we were headed as a general people in like the late 90s.
Yep. Yep.
Early 2000s. That seems like where everyone was going to get piled into rehab. Man, one of my dudes is going to jail for rehab for, so he's going for a year and a half. Can you go to rehab for a year and a half? Or
holy wow, geez, I don't know. That seems more than, I don't know.
Maybe it could be jail. It's from a bunch of DUIs. So
wow,
yeah, the third time's a charm. Apparently,
oh, that's brutal, dude. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you must be freaking the fuck out. And he's like, because he's like, you know, he's still business as usual right now until like tomorrow is his day, towards his sentencing day. And he's known that for like a long time. So it's just when I'm like, you must be freaking out. He's like, oh my God, that's all I think about. And for the longest time, we didn't even know how long. We were like, it's going to be a month or two. And then fucking boom. Can you imagine? You're just like, hey.
Was it like one of these day programs or certain night programs where you can go out during the day and then.
You probably, yeah, you might be able to figure something out, but I think he's in the middle of, like, you know.
Is this going to help him quit, do you think? Or?
Oh, dude, once you get three times, I don't see that. Yeah.
What?
Once you think, I don't think so.
Three times in rehab or?
Three, I don't know about that. Three times DUI and then.
No, is he going to quit drinking, do you think?
Well, he's not going to have a choice for a little while, but I don't see it long term, no. No, my prediction would be no.
Wow.
But I would have to see him on the way out to really make that prediction, because, you know, I haven't seen that. I've only seen him when he's drinking, you know?
Yeah.
When you see someone when they're just drinking, you can't really see him any other way until you see him another way. And they're like, oh, fuck. I'm sure that's how I was for some people for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's probably why sometimes when I pump into people that I like grew up with on social media now, they're like, holy fuck. What are you doing? And I'm like, well, I just quit drinking. And then And I didn't even really quit drinking. I just stopped. You know, I still drink now and again, not very often, but I was able to just quit that lifestyle without doing the abstinence thing.
Yeah.
It does still seem to be the best way. Seems like most people can't just do that.
Yeah. Well, there's a big, there seems to be a push to this harm reduction where it's kind of like they just want to, especially with hard drugs, I guess, and opiates, where they just, you know, you can just keep using these legal drugs until basically you die. Because, you know, I know that's not really what they would say, but this seems to be what happens.
Until they can slap me into the maid.
Yeah.
Made in Canada, baby.
So,
what you got? What you been up to? You don't really have OnlyFans.
No. No, I was on Union of the Unwanted today with Adam Curry and a bunch of cool people. That was fun. We did a great, like, almost a Canadian Union of the Unwanted, kind of a mini one last week, ourselves on Great America.
Right. Award. That's worth mentioning.
We should mention it, yeah.
The CIPC?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it is now. I mean, that's what it came out as, unless we change it to see.
I wasn't taking the initials. Did you take the initials and put it out in that? Yeah.
Well, that's what I named the file name.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay. So, no, it's just Canadian Independent Podcaster Convergence kind of thing with a bunch of Canadian podcasters. And it was on our other show, Great America Outlawed. It's out there on audio now. So if anybody wants to hear a bunch of Canadians talk about solutions and argue over solutions, it's pretty good.
There's some name calling.
A little bit of name calling, not a lot.
Not a lot. Just enough. Not too much. It's a good one. People should check it out. Like I say, it's 3 hours long. So it was Convergence,
yeah.
How'd you come up with that?
Well, convergence, you know, we converge together, all these podcasters, these independent podcasters converging together.
Like rivers?
Yeah, like rivers.
Did it have to be a C word? Is that like we didn't?
Well, Canadian convert, you know, Canadian convergence, it kind of like fits, right?
Yeah. We wanted a C.
I didn't want a CCP or a CPC or, you know, PPC. Like, there's all these. CCP, CPP, CPP, CC, you know, they're all these like Canadian acronyms already. I didn't want to steal one of those because then it wouldn't work with the show, right? Because people look it up and it's just all these mainstream
acronyms. But if they look up CIPC. That's us, baby.
That's us.
So, you excited for the clips? 2 weeks? Wes, 2 weeks today. 2 weeks today.
Yes, because it's a full moon, right?
Today is full moon.
Yeah. And then 2 weeks from now is a new moon, which is the eclipse.
I've seen some partridge today. First ones of the year.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, that'll be good. That's going to be a great event. And there's some tickets left. We need to sell this stuff. We should talk to everybody about this.
Buy some tickets, even if you're not coming. Because now we've offered a day ticket. So we were able to finally figure out a way that people can do a day ticket if they want to just come and hang out just for the day. Or one night ticket.
Or one night.
One-nighter.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can order contact@thecabin.com if you guys want to check that out. There's also the Randall Carlson event coming up in a couple of months. That's going to be a doozy down in the Scablands. The May one is a good one because it's spring down there. It's the only time of the year that place ain't a hellhole in the sun. Like, the September one's nice, but sometimes you don't in that mid-afternoon sun and it's like fucking 100 degrees. So maybe not 100, but definitely 90s. The main one is just kind of nice. I like when everything's green and pretty and the spring runoffs there. The falls are really moving. That's a contact@thecabin.com as well. And then, of course, we do have that big old event of ours coming up this November in the Invermere Mountains, two of Canada's most beautiful national parks. I think Banff is officially the best one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I forget what it's called now again. I always forget that one.
I always think it's Kananaskis, but it's a different one.
No, it's...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Kootenai?
Kootenai? Maybe.
Might be Kootenai. Anyway, over by Radium. So we're going to go there. We'll be in Invermere. We're going to check out the natural hot springs on the river. The hot springs are what? Maybe 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet from the river. There's like separate pools. So there's the hot one, the medium one, and the low one. And then there's the ice cold river. So that was all pretty fun with Brandon Powell. I mean, we're going to have a blast doing that. That's the all wild meat as well on that one. So we eat a bunch of elk steaks all weekend.
Yoho? Is it Yoho?
Yoho. I think that is it. Yeah. Yoho. Yoho-ho. It's a lot of Rocky Mountains. That's for sure. And you drive through the tunnel on the way to Radium. So it was a real good event. The venue is amazing. It's really something else. So check that out. Contact at thecabin.com if you guys want to get in on one of those events. Anyway, the other thing you should do is support the show. I mean, we talk about this every week, but that's because we don't have enough supporters. We did get, I've said we didn't have any new supporters last week. That was a lie. So we do have a make good. Do you want to do you've got all the notes except the patrons. You can do the notes first, and then I'll finish up with the new, the new recurring.
Okay, well, we do have, this is 4320 US from Ethan. So thank you, Ethan. I don't think there's a note with that. And then Lucas is the... There's
nothing even down in like the nothing in the note section?
No. And then, no. And then Lucas, oh, hang on, let me just double check that. Yeah, no, nothing, I don't think. Just donation, so. And then Lucas is the make good, I think, which is... Lucas was $33 US. Please credit Junta. This is behind the schemes donor. Oh,
that's guest amazing.
Guest request, Booberry from Behind the Schemes and Thunder Road Media. Yeah, we'll have Booberry on for sure. We'll do that. I'll set something up in the future. That would be great. Talk about all the stuff with podcasting 2.0 and the music stuff. And all, yeah, that's great. And then I got a note from our buddy, friend of the show, Paul. From Jasper Paul. To the two people in Canada who did the job of the entire mainstream media during the COVID operation, Darren and Graham put their reputations as well as freedom to actually help people figure out the truth during this continued disinformation campaign. Our news in Canada is so bought and paid for, they have no credibility or audience. I wish all my tax dollars can go to Grey American News instead of the shills who get it. Paul.
I swear we're the only ones who read that RCMP report too. Like, I really do. I just see every channel, because obviously all the people that I follow are going through it now, and not one of them has brought up anything about the entire page, which is the most part of it. The biggest chunk of it is about climate alarmism. And the second biggest part of it is populism.
I know.
And then there's like one paragraph about dissent because of being broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we also have Gabe to thank. He became a new Patreon. So thanks, Gabe. And Herb E, who also became a new Patreon, which is a monthly, which is huge. You know, the monthlies are huge. The one-time donations are huge. Right now, we're not in a position to complain about anything. And I did get the thing from, I got a telegram from Bowman. So remember, he signed up for the $100 Patreon. So that's like a recurring, which is amazing. Right. So
that's awesome.
Huge thing.
Thanks, Bowman.
And Paul too. Paul is huge. Paul's been one of our biggest supporters all the time. So yeah. Big thanks to those guys. I'd put like Mike K. I wouldn't say his last name, Liberal Mike. So he's been a huge supporter of ours. And there's a bunch on the list. We love you guys. So, hey, Darren, it's Bo, man. Happy to support y'all. Just hearing your shout out back from my Patreon sign up on the Caverns episode. See y'all here in Utopia. I live here.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, so imagine finding out that all you guys are coming. You're a Snake Bros fan. You're Thane Austin. We're coming to your town, to your little town to party. So. Yeah.
I mean, for the eclipse,
for the event of a lifetime.
Yeah.
My mom's all worried. She's sending me stuff about the world. And I was like, you know
what? Oh, I know my mom too. Yeah. My mom
went to one of these already.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, mums. It's so funny. But what's with all the disinformation?
You know what it is. Now they're just like, they're off the deep end on the internet is what it is.
Yeah.
Like the last eclipse, my mom wasn't that plugged in. And now she's like, you know.
Yeah. Because she's been listening to us too. So, I mean,
yeah.
And the problem is,
I'm not worried.
There is a weird mainstream change from when you see the posts of from 2017 and this year for what like the, you know, the mainstream view is. I mean, it is very different. They're like, prepare yourself, you know.
It's nice that home isn't on the path of totality, so I can come back here to no destruction if that's what happens. And I can think of a better group of people to do some cool apocalypse stuff with.
Exactly.
I mean, it'll be fun as fuck, man. I can't.
So I got another one I do want to read on this apocalypse show. Apocalypse camp.
Yeah, we should do an apocalypse camp.
Hello, Gray America boys. I hope Graham can forward this to Darren. I know Darren is a fan of Atlas Shrugged. I wonder if he's read other Ayn Rand novels.
I've read all of Ayn Rand stuff.
The Fountainhead was really a better book than Atlas Shrugged, in my opinion. The one I was writing about, though, is her first novel, We the Living. If you have not read this, I would recommend it. Sure.
The Fountainhead is better, I would say. Because she could have got Atlas Shrugged down to like 30 hours.
Yeah.
And then it would have been as good. But I mean, and she would say that The Fountainhead is her magnum opus. So I would agree with that. The Fountainhead's a lot harder to follow for, you know, you should read something before The Fountainhead so you have some idea of what she's going at with some of that stuff. I think The Fountainhead can be a bit much for some people. I mean, not really. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass. But yeah.
What about We the Living?
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. And Anthem. I have them all. Yeah, I have like 6 or 7 copies of the most of them because I just give them to people when they come over.
Very prescient to today, he says, and the socialist Marxist leanings of society. Could make a good audiobook. Keep up the great work, guys. Like the Union of the Canadians podcast idea. Thanks, Luke. So guess what I heard today on the Union of the Unwanted in America, or with Adam Curry? Where do you think Adam Curry got value for value from?
Ayn Rand.
Yeah. Did you know that? From Atlas Shrugged.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like the name, I think. Like the phrase.
I could see that being in there. I mean, it's such a big book. I'd have to do it again. But I've done it since that. I think I would have picked up on it.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's a big book. I'll have to do. I mean, I've been meaning to do it again. I did The Fountainhead again recently, and I've been humming and hawing on what to do because honestly, I have trouble finding good stuff. I keep hearing that Martin is going to come out with the new Game of Thrones book.
But did you listen to Ignatius Donnelly and the Caesar's Column that I did?
I haven't. No, not yet.
You should. There's some really good speeches in there.
I was waiting for it to come out on. Is it out on
Audible? Yeah,
Audible now. Yeah. I can use my Audible credits to buy my own book.
Yeah,
I'll have to check that out because I'm. You know, you guys, let me know what's good, you know, because I've been thinking about doing Dune again. I watched the Dune movie and I was like, maybe I should do that all again. Those are fun. And the other one I was thinking about doing was Atlas Shrugged because I haven't done, what's it called, fairly recently.
I mean, if you really want a big, like, fantasy series, there's some really good stuff.
I tried Wheel of Time, I think, and I just couldn't.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But maybe just try, like, Brandon Sanderson's other work.
I have, like, 8 of his books already, and I just can't.
You can't do it?
I want to. Maybe, you know, and sometimes I'll get, like, a few chapters in, and I just
I just lose it, you know? Yeah.
Anyway, let me know what I should be reading. Support the show, grimamerica.ca/support. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation. If you're getting some value from a little podcast here, a lot of people like the Randall episode and the ones before that. We've been doing some hard-hitting content lately. Support the show. I mean, it's all there. It's all free. Just throw us a buck or two when you can. It helps. It's tight times out there. course, adultbrain.ca for all the audiobooks, grammaricaoutlaw.ca for all the other stuff. And then we have a new YouTube channel again, where we've started like parsing off our Canadian content to outlawed Canadians. Ooh, I got the hiccups from eating my steak too fast. Dude, I did a butter poached steak. It's pretty good. I put the whole thing in butter, in a pool of butter in the oven at like 170 for like an hour. And then seared it.
Oh. And then seared it? Wow. Yeah, interesting. It was good.
It was good, yeah. Well, you got to get the fat into the elk, so it really permeates it, though, for sure. For sure, I went back to cast iron. Well, not yet, because I still need to pick up some more bits and pieces, but now you can get cast iron bacon pans and everything. I'm going to go to all cast iron. I had all those fancy red no-stick ones. But it's coming off now, you know? And it's like, well, great. So where's that shit now?
Yeah.
In my fucking digestive system.
Exactly.
Cool. So I'm like, you know, I'm going over and there's this and there's this and there's this and there's a stainless steel, but they're a pain to cook. So if I get into stainless steel, I'd rather just, you know, arguably the long-term science on these weird stainless steel ones isn't out yet either. But people have been cooking on cast iron for fucking 500 years. It seems okay. So,
seems actually good, that some people say.
Yeah. So I'm going back to that. I'm slowly. The problem is
it's heavy stuff. Like Maria can't.
Shauna.
The problem is she can't handle the heavy stuff. It'll pull her joints out of place and like it's bad. So yeah, she has to be careful with all that. So I don't know. We were just talking about that today, I think, of getting a new frying pan and.
Yeah, everything new I buy now is cast iron. But like a cast iron bacon pan's like $110 compared to I can go get one at Safeway for $13.
Yeah.
And nothing sticks to it ever. Till it does. Anyway. And then I got guts full of Teflon or whatever the fuck too. So there's that to consider. There's that side of it. Anyway. Get out of here. I still gotta run to the city tonight, so.
All right, Tom Matt. So here's it from his website, tom-matt.com. I see things you don't. Tom Matt is a successful marketing executive who broke his brain with drugs. Most people who have lost their mind and never find their way back to tell the story. He was lucky. Not only did he find his way back with a lot of help, he found something more mind than he knew what to do with. He no longer believes insane things. But the way his brain works has fundamentally changed, and for the better. His illness opened new pathways in his mind. He now easily sees connections and reimagines information and data in ways that would not have made sense to him before. His upside vision offers insights into mathematics and physics that he previously had little interest in. More spectacularly, he also sees and experiences contact from non-human intelligent beings. He's on a mission to connect with a research team and create the technology to triangulate these holographic images and messages back to their source. Pretty interesting story. He does. He did go do some ions testing, and it came up with some pretty interesting results. So, yeah, check it out.
There you have it, guys. Enjoy the chat with the one and only Tom Matt.
And Tom Math is with us. Welcome to Grimerica. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
This will be fun. We were talking about recovery a little bit. I like how this is part of your story. I was watching a video of you too, and it sort of stemmed from that a little bit. So I can't wait to get into that part of this whole thing, you know, the science of upsight and unveiling the unseen. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Great.
I mean, I guess we should start at the beginning because, you know, I did miss some of the beginning aspect of that. So we can go back to, you know, I mean, let's just tease it a little bit like this. Like we had Dean Radin on not too long ago, actually. It was like 2021. I think it was September 2021. And IONS, just to tease a little bit, IONS, you finally got in touch with somebody that would sort of help you with from research standpoint. And you went with IONS to do some studies. So we'll talk about all that later, but it is quite fascinating. Dean's a fascinating guy. They are doing really interesting work over there. So it'll be interesting to see how you led up to that whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want me to give you my backstory? First of all, yeah. You want me to explain people what Upsight is, Upsight Vision is?
I guess so, yeah. But I do want to hit the backstory so we don't have to rush. You know, I don't want to rush through the backstory part. I've got some questions about that.
All right. Well, since you teed it up with IONS, let's start there and we can work our way back. Because what happened to my vision, however it got there, is kind of extraordinary. And I've labeled it Upsight Vision. And Upsight Vision is the ability for me to see holographic images that are everywhere around us, me, and even to interact with them. I did not have this my whole life. In fact, I didn't have it until about a dozen years ago when I went through a severe mental health crisis brought on by addiction to cocaine and some other variables. But when I came out of it, I had this extraordinary ability. And that's one of the things that led to me getting clean and sober. I'm like, listen, there's no way you can come out of a mental health struggle like I did, have this ability and have people believe you if you are still, in fact, using coke and any other drug, right? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted to get clean and sober to reconnect with my family, which I've done. But that was definitely a catalyst. You know, plus, I knew I was connected to something more than what I'd gone through my whole life, or I knew it was there. I wanted to connect to it. I saw more. Since then, I definitely believe I'm connected to it. I believe we all are. But that was really the catalyst for this Upsight Vision. And to give you an idea what it looks like, and I use these references because between the two of them, somebody's seen them. The first one is Tony Stark in his office. He's in his office. He's surrounded by the universe, a holographic universe that he interacts with. That's a good example of what it looks like because usually tinted one color or clear. If you have not seen the Iron Man movies, there's a movie called The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. And the protagonist is laying in her bed in some of the scenes and she's looking at the ceiling and she sees these images of the chess pieces. She's a chess player and she can move them around and she can move a couple of moves ahead. And that's how she educates herself and teaches herself. When I saw that, I was like, it's like this person had the same thing I did. So that's what, if you want a visual of it, that is what it looks like. And that's the art they used in the peer-reviewed paper. Or actually currently under peer review paper that Ion submitted. I can't remember the publication it's submitted to, but they're waiting for a peer review on that. Basically, the image on the left is how I see the room like that. Make no mistake. When I walk into a room, I see the same thing. I have to shift my attention and then focus my eyes and these other things come into being. And we can discuss, are they outside of me? The answer is yes. But they're also, once I pay attention to them, I can interact with them and change them with a thought.
So I'm just showing a website for the audio people. The website is consultingproductions.com, right? /UpsightVisionTomMath. And there'll be a link in the show notes, but this kind of has an artist rendition of what this upsight is.
And, you know, Dean Radin, right? So I emailed a bunch of traditional academics because I'm like, listen, I figured neuroscientists, they were going to want to get me in a lab. I was going to be like, I can do this on demand. I don't have to wait. I don't have to be any kind of altered state. And it took me so long to get a response, or I got responses. They're like, no, thank you. Dean Radin is, tell me more. And I told him more. He's like, huh, we typically don't do kind of research like that. And I'm like, well, what about this, this, and this? Anyway, he finally is like, all right, let me turn this over to some other scientists and we can see if we can get you up here. And that's what we did. And that's what I did last summer.
So is it always there for you, this sort of holographic imagery? Is it there all the time? Or like, can you turn it on and off at will? Or
So it's always there. As long as I turn my attention, I can focus on it. So in the beginning, going to bed was exhausting because I'd lay down and let's say it would be an image of two dogs barking or kids throwing a frisbee. But I, you know, and it really took me longer than it should have to figure this out. I'm like, you know what? I need to imagine or picture a stream, like a river, something calming or an ocean. So after a while, I learned to do that. And that's what I do every night when I go to bed. So yeah, it is available to me all the time.
Is it like that sort of magic eye, you know, those magic eye pictures from the 90s, the late 80s, 90s, you know, where you kind of like lose the focus in your eyes and then this 3D image comes to you?
Well, I don't lose it, but that's actually a good example of how you have to see it and focus on it. Here, I'll give you another example of how to do it. So if I was driving a car and you and I, and let me say it's too, it's not good memory recall or a vivid mind's eye. It is not those things. So if you and I are driving a car, or if I'm driving a car and you're my passenger and we're like, hey, you know, do you remember the Star Wars poster as a kid? And I'd be like, yeah, I could picture that in my mind and I could still drive the car while I'm picturing it. If I'm doing upside vision, there's no way I can operate a machinery like that. I could be a passenger. I could not drive a car and do it. I can, because I have to pay attention to what I'm looking at. So you know, once I'm engaged with that, I need to be still. You know what I mean? I can't do something else.
Well, let's stick with the IONS research then, because they did an analysis of this, and the findings were interesting, right? Because they could tell that the way you're describing it is sort of closer to reality, then it's not just your imagination. It's not like something that's external to the point where other people can see it, but somewhere exactly. In the middle.
Exactly. So this is what we did, right? So we get up there and we were talking about doing an fMRI. Let's see what area my brain lights up when I do it. And let me come back to that. Actually, let me talk about that now, because it's important. Remember, I came out of a severe mental health crisis. I'd walked out on my family. I thought my business was a front for some government agency. I mean, I was really, really psychotic, really. And I flew around the globe, spent all my money and stayed in these five-star hotels. I eventually ended up homeless in California. And I checked myself into a psych ward because I'm like, you know, and I'd had a history with addiction, but I'd been 5 years clean. And as a drug addict, you're like, you don't want to spend all your money. But the executive area of my brain, the area that plans ahead, was not functioning. I mean, I walked out on a business of 15 years. I owned an ad agency and I walked out. It was thriving. It was a business, functioning business. But something happened. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I had to cut two MRIs, right? Because I was like, you know, this is something's wrong with my brain. I'm not thinking normally. I'm not seeing normally. I believe ridiculous things. So I had two MRIs. There is no stroke, lesion, brain damage, no damage from drug use or tumors. So we know my brain is healthy. It's nothing pathological or wrong with it. But the scientists said, and again, these are clinicians and traditional scientists, and I saw a bunch of them. All they could tell me is something opened up in my brain and areas of my brain were connected that were not connected before. I mean, thank you. I mean, that's why I'm here. Obviously, that's happening. So, and we still don't have answers, but something is still open and it's on. So when we got to IONS, we talked about getting an fMRI, but it was going to be too complicated and they'd have to partner with some other people for the equipment. What we could do was hook my brain up to an EEG machine, measuring the brainwave states while I'm using UpSight. So we did 200 experiments, a control. It was my brain state when I'm looking or when I see an image and then use memory recall, right? Or mind's eye. And then the same image with upside vision. Now, the guy that ran the test, the guy that's calling the Mozart of EEG testing, right? He's done over 160 of these things. He writes the books that other students are trained on to do this. He's like, this is one of the most unambiguous cases of brain states he's seen. So yeah, so the brain state when I'm the alpha waves, let's talk about that. That was the most obvious example. And your alpha brain state is when you're sitting there, it's calm, right? So believe it or not, when I'm doing memory recall, the brain is calm. But when I was using UpSight or seeing with UpSight, it was more active and it was like Rudolph's nose. It was just really bright. It was a blue color. There's an image on the IONS website about that. They want to check it. It's I can't remember the name of it. It was written by one of the scientists. There's one by me, Tom Matt. The other person that wrote it is one of the scientists. It may say staff scientist, but it's easy to find. So, but the brain states were different between all of them. Now, I thought before going up there, it was going to be the theta state, which is the dream state. And I was all convinced. I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, actively using my brain state, because obviously when you're sleeping, you see these images. Now, there was a difference there, but the one that jumped off the charts was this one, the one that you're showing now.
Is this the one? Okay. So this, yeah, is,
this is the alpha brain state.
Shows the spectrum recall and the spectrum upside. Yeah.
Right. And on the left is typical, let's call the image on the left a regular person's brain when they're thinking about an image. On the right is me seeing that image with upside vision.
Okay. Okay.
Do you get to pick what you see?
What's that?
Do you get to pick what you see all the time?
Like, all right, great question. So,
control over this?
No, this is good. This is good. So you and I are talking about something. If I were to look now, it may be related to this conversation, but it's just as likely to be something else, something that's unrelated. Now, once I'm interacting with it, let's say if I looked over and there was two guys throwing a Frisbee. Once I'm engaged with it, I can turn that Frisbee into a football. I can make those guys jump in dragsters and drive away, and that will happen. So it's both. It is an external until it's an internal. It's almost like hearing a noise, you know, with your ears, your senses, but responding with your voice. So it's both.
I think we kind of
about, like, can it ever startle you? Like, is it ever negative? Is it ever a negative experience? Are you ever like, fuck this upside, man? It's really got to go.
100%. It's without a doubt. I've seen some of the most horrible things you can imagine. Anything you can imagine or things you don't want to, I've seen. And when that happens, I literally just jump out of it, right? I don't want to see it. Like, probably the most scariest thing I said is a bucket, like what you think of a KFC bucket filled with baby parts. I'm like, why would I need to see that? So I jumped out of it. And I've done remote viewing, telepathy, you know, lucid dreaming. I can do good at pretty do well. And, so I do other things with it. Now, I'm not an expert in any of those other psi phenomena that I just mentioned, because I focused on using, you know, the holographic images that I can interact with, but there's elements of all of those things associated with this.
I think there might've been something about the theta waves that I think I interrupted you when I put that thing on the screen there. But you were saying that you expected it to be theta, but really it was alpha. Did I miss something in there?
Well, it's both. It's both. The theta waves is the dream state that's active during dream states. And it's also the guy that did the test too, or somebody told me this, that's also the wave state they see active when people are in medium mode. You know what I mean? People that we think of as mediums. That's the state they see the biggest change in. So I was intrigued by that.
So this is, did it surprise them that it was the alpha state that...
I did. I think so. Yeah. I think all of it. I think the biggest thing that surprised them, how unambiguous this was, right? There was like such an obvious change between these two states. So, you know, we're very curious. All of us, all the scientists, IONS Institute themselves, you know, to get back up there, let's get a bigger data set. So one of the goals, the reason I'm coming on these podcasts talking about this is because I want to find other people that have this, because I absolutely believe other people have it. And even though I said, because it did start for me from a mental health crisis, I think it's an evolutionary step. And I think people are slowly evolving into it. In fact, I think some people have it, but they've told not to use it. I talked to one woman who said she's had it since she was a child, but her mother said, don't tell anyone that because people think you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So is there some sort of evolutionary advantage to it that you can think? Like, is this like because for it to be an evolution, I would, at least my understanding, I'm not, and for the record, I'm not even saying I'm all in on evolution, but it seems to be at play, at least at some level. You know, we can see things evolve in real time, even though that might not be the whole thing. Picture. You know, that might not be the whole picture. Because it seems like as soon as people hear evolution, they assume I'm an atheist, but I'm not. But anyway, I would assume that anything that is, you know, if that's like the next thing for us, it would have some sort of thing that is that you can use to advantage over people that don't have it. So do you have anything sort of like that? Because from my side, that reminds me of Final Fantasy. You know, you're like one of those, it wasn't Final Fantasy, and you're just one of the first people that can start to see these things. But I mean, that, I don't think that had a happy ending. I think it's aliens or some shit. But I can't remember.
So that's a great question, obviously, because you're right. Evolution, if you have a mutation, if it's a bad mutation, it's obviously not helpful. But if it's a mutation that leads to an evolutionary change, which I think it is, it's got to confer some advantage to us. So the question is, what is the advantage? And the answer is, I can't answer that as of yet. I think it's for our survival. And let me tell you, there's a word I learned when I started doing this. I read tons of books on neuroscience, and the word is umwelt. It's spelled U-M-W-E-L-T. It's how a biological organism moves through the environment. Right? So all of us humans move through the environment pretty much the same way with our five basic senses. A worm, even though it's on planet Earth, moves through an environment, the same environment, but with different senses. My umwelt, what I'm seeing is more than I did before. So people say is it interdimensional? I think maybe the better way to say it is it was an invisible biosphere or a hidden biosphere, but it's becoming unhidden. And so I can do some things with it, like remote viewing. But so here's the survival, Darren. So you now to take this path, you have to believe remote viewing is true, right? You have to believe some people can do it. So look, we're going to have to start there. And I understand people are skeptical about that. And I can't prove remote viewing is real, but I can definitely collect evidence that upside is real. That's why I've done it with the science. In any case, I can remote view certain things to certain levels of success. And I've tried to see things that you would argue are dangerous for me to see. Right? Like the Epstein murder or suicide, right? Quote unquote. I can't see it. It won't let me see it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is helpful. Maybe there's a reason I can't see it. I can't see Area 51. I get to it and they have this, it shows me like a metaphor, something, a dog's barking, two Dobermans with those traditional dogs from World War II movies. And I can't get past that. So I find that really, really interesting. So Darren, there's some other things I'm sure I'll think of while I'm like talking.
Precog. What about precog?
Oh, see, all right, great question. That's another thing. Now, the precog is annoying too, because I'll see something like a bridge collapse. 4 hours later, bridge collapses in Ohio. I see this online, right? Okay, then I'll see five other things, let's call them catastrophic, that I never see again or hear from again. So even though it points to it, I don't know how to train it, use it, or get better at it. And I think, I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know if there's so many other things to do before that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just back to the ion study quickly, were they aware of anything that matches that? Like if they measure meditators, like, you know, monks brain waves when they're meditating, like could somebody with really good control of their mind do that? Like make that thing all blue? Like, does it match something like that? Like if they were focusing on something.
Yeah, I don't know. That's good, because I know they can create those states with magnets and there's certain machinery, because there was another test that they there's a word I'm looking for. They inhibited the use of the prefrontal brain, and that's the way it showed up, right? Or something like it. Oh, now, I can't answer that only for things I've read that, yeah, monks can kind of get to that state, right? These other people can get to the state and they can change it, but I'm not somebody that can do that. You know, that's another way to prove that it's science too, that's external. My pupils dilate while this happens. Sometimes you cannot willfully dilate your pupils. It can only be done with an external input, a stimuli, whether it's something exciting or arousing. My pupils will dilate.
Huh.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go from here, Darren? Do you have any questions at all?
I'm like, I'm trying to picture if I could see some things, but I feel like it would just drive me nuts most of the time. Can you like find some water with it or something? Like, have you found any sort of, is there something that might be triggering it? Some sort of natural phenomenon or something in the environment that it might be triggering you about or something like that? Do you think, like, do you notice any sort of thing that stimulates it in a way that, you know, more than usual?
So, no, but there are certain times of the day. It seems later in the afternoon, it can be stronger. It can be stronger sometimes when I'm at the beach. Now, this is a wild story. When I was, I've been on a bunch of plane rides since this happened. I don't sit in first class or business class most of the time. This time, in the last 6 months, I did, right? And the images were brighter. They were like really, really hard, like seem more intense, for lack of another word. Like the volume was turned up. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, all these brains are behind me, right? We're all facing forward. And maybe there was like an amplification around this because it was so extraordinary. And I've thought about it since then. I'm like, I wonder if we could get in that scenario. And I don't even know if it's worth it. But to see if, well, did somebody else have it on the plane? Or is it just the fact that there were more brains, you know, that were behind me, more brain amplification for any reason? Now, those things are just things I've told. I don't know. You know, how do we reproduce that again?
Yeah. Were you at altitude yet, or were you still on the ground?
Oh yeah, no, altitude. It happened the whole time while I was at altitude for like the 2 hours of the flight.
I mean, I wonder if that's something to do with it too. Like, if
Other times it hadn't altitude, it wasn't necessarily stronger on the other flights. Only when I was at the front of the plane. So that was really interesting. Now, I'll tell you a story I've told on a bunch of podcasts that are more. That just different. They like to talk about UFOs and aliens because this happened in the first year that I did this. So I'm remote viewing, right? I'm sitting there. And I didn't call it remote viewing then. I was just using upside vision, right? And I'm looking at, and the next thing I know, I'm in space. And the next thing I know, I'm in a spacecraft with a dozen gray aliens, right? And they're standing in the circle. They're standing in the circle, and it looks like they're looking down on this empty, clear table. As I get closer, I realize that they are remote viewing a town in the US, and their eyes are following the people. The eyes are following the people. And when the person walked out of one gray alien's eyes field of view, the other gray alien next to it would pick it up. And I'm starting to watch this and starting to pay particular attention. All this happened in less than a minute. So I'm watching this and I'm realizing, I'm like, wow, we can learn from this. What is this? Is this real? And the next thing you know, two of the gray aliens turned to look at me and I jumped back. And that was the end of that, because I was so startled that something could see me doing what I was doing. Now, I don't know what they actually saw. All I know, I was like, I do not want to be a part of this any longer. It was scary. It was cool too.
Have you speculated about that at all? Like, what do you think they were doing? Just monitoring some part of...
I think their eyes are like, radars of some kind, you know, and they're picking up. Yeah, I absolutely do think they would do that. And I also think, I mean, they were doing something as a group, so it amplified it like a chorus, you know, it was stronger because of that. Again, this is all speculation. But I do. I think those things seem to be true, you know, or could be true.
But what about ancient encounters with, you know, religious experiences or divine encounters in ancient times? Like, I've wondered about.
I missed you. I disconnected.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering if you've read about any encounters from ancient times. You know, like. Ancient religious experiences or encounters with the divine. It seems like those are between, to me, like they're not necessarily hallucinations. They're not necessarily like physical encounters, but so many people have had religious experiences in the past. I wonder if some of that is similar to what's happening to you.
So there's been visual images, if you want to call them angels, winged beings. But the stories I hear about interviewing of connecting with the divine are so much better and more powerful than the things I'm seeing. As cool as they are, I don't think it's God. That's what's wild. I think it's a biological. That's another reason, Darren. I think it's something human. Maybe we can connect to it, but I think what I'm doing is it's not that. And I think I know other people have it in one form or another, because I get emails after every podcast say, oh, I can do something like this, but I can't interact with them. And it seems like another theme is trauma. Everyone has had some kind of trauma, whether it's physical, whether it's mental or emotional. If you know anything about the X-Men, you know, this is like kind of, you're like, wait, really? You know, in the, what's the guy's name? Magneto, you know, he developed his, or he learned about his when he was in the concentration camps. Now that's a fictional story, but the fact that trauma is a common theme makes you wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if you've read about the Rosicrucians at all, or their theories. I'm reading this book right now.
No, called, I can't have to. I can't let
me,
remember.
Let me read this. Let me I read this quick. Have. Let me read this quick excerpt for you because it seems to be sort of related. It says, when we're in health, we specialize solar energy in such great quantities that we cannot use it all in the body, and therefore it radiates through the pores of our skin in straight streams and serves a similar purpose as an exhaust fan. So what they're saying is this machine drives the foul air out of a room. Like if you're healthy and you're absorbing all the sunlight, you can basically keep the atmosphere within pure and sweet. But it gets better here. It says, it is a curious and most astounding sight when one first observes how from exposed parts of the body, such as hands and face, there suddenly commences to flow a stream of stars, cubes, pyramids, and a variety of other geometrical forms. The writer has more than once rubbed his eyes when he first perceived the phenomena, for it seemed that he must be suffering from hallucinations. The forms observed are chemical atoms, however, which have served their purpose in the body and are expelled through the pores.
So that's really interesting. So I have not heard that. But let me tell you this. When I first had it, I became obsessed with mathematics, right? So I was sitting on the couch getting better, right? Staying off drugs, completely sober, but I had some PTSD. I had some trauma. You know, I connected with the family. And I sat there and I started to read a lot about math. The reason is not because something drew me, because I saw there was no topological space, no torus, no manifold that I could not deconstruct, dissect in my field of vision. So there's no doubt that there was a mathematical and a fractal element that I still have to this day. And not only that, as I would, they would present these problems to me, mathematical problems. And when I found a solution to them, they would either go to the next one. If you want to say they were harder, it was the next level. Maybe they weren't harder, but it was another level. When I figured that out, there was another level. And I have this multidimensional coordinate system completely built in my mind. I could sit down with an architect, somebody with a blueprint. We could translate the whole thing and I could upload it to a software program. It would probably take some time to do it. But that is one of the things I want to do. So there's no doubt there's an element of fractal and geometric piece to this that I can interact with. And I'm a part. And not only that, I'm a part of it. Like you're saying, I am a part of it.
It really reminds me of the downloads, the people that have had these downloads of scientific data or mathematical data, but yours is in a visual representation or something.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. And you know, there's equations that come up with it. It's funny. It's like a series of downloads. I'd say it like that. It's a series of downloads that led to this system, this coordinate system. But the other downloads, this is what's so wild or maybe a little frustrating. You know, I cannot win the Kentucky Derby, right? I cannot pick, and I believe me, I tried, right? You know, this thing, in fact, it doesn't want me to do that. It does not want to do an easy path where you can figure that out. So there's an element to, it can show things if it wants to, but if for whatever reason, it doesn't want to. And Darren, that's another thing. That's a survival thing. In a weird way, not showing me that is, again, another smart thing to be. Because if you have that ability, you know, people are going to want that. It's put you in danger. I would, you know, you can make a very strong case.
Yeah. So that kind of gets back to Darren's question about whether you can control it or not. So if you meditate on something, like you see these shapes and these holograms, all you can see them all the time, but they're there no matter what, if you're focusing them on or not, right? But when you start to, if you meditated and you wanted to focus on a dodecahedron or something, for example, you could?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. And in fact, the images I see are nothing I've seen in mathematics because they're not your typical dodecahedron or your circle square. These shapes are different, but they're also part of, I think, this hidden biosphere, right? I think they're part of it that we don't typically see because our brains are not open to it. You know, our human brains are not open to this.
What do you mean the hidden biosphere then?
Well, again, that's what I think. The word umwell, we are biological organisms. We are all on planet Earth. There are things here that I think humans cannot see, you know, call them non-human intelligences. And you stumble across them. I gave you the one about the grays, but I've seen other kind of beings. In fact, while I was doing this testing up at IONS, And this happens. This is historic. So let me take a step back. While I was doing a test in IONS, this gray alien shows up, right? In holographic form. Let's be honest. In holographic form. Now, I have two choices. Finish the testing or get distracted by it. So it showed up a couple of times and I ignored it, right? Because I knew I didn't want it. That's not the goal of this testing. It would have messed up all the results, whatever, and it just went away. Now, I'd read stories where people that are doing like these yogis and meditators, they've been meditating and these beings showed up and they went to their teachers and they're like, listen, ignore them. You know, you're meditating, ignore them. And to me, it's like, well, hold on a minute. Well, why would you ignore something like that? I mean, I guess, you know, it should be looked at deeper as opposed to just ignore them. Maybe we need to think about this way more seriously than we do.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that maybe there is a message in there, or at least find out their true intention. Are they blocking you from progressing any further, or are they there to watch you only, or what?
Right. And there's people that call themselves star seeds that get messages from these beings all the time. That's not my journey at all. I mean, you know, that is not it. If I had to say my mission is to figure out what's going on through our traditional scientific, you know, academic, traditional technology and stuff like that. It's not about sending a message that we need to be nicer to each other, which of course we do, need to be better, which of course we are. We need to treat the planet, you know, as nice as we can. If climate change is real, whether it's our fault or just normal cycle, I don't know. Maybe it's a little both. The point is that these guys, I say this because there's some kind of guidance. I do feel like I'm being prodded along in my doofus way, in my slow way to try to figure this out. And one of the things is to connect other people that have it. I feel that's a very strong thing, to let people know that this thing, if they have something like this, they need to think about it and not dismiss it.
And you never know. I mean, they could be tested, and you could have started the first baseline here where it's like, hey, people, because it would be hard to match the results if you just went in there through the imagination trying to picture these things. You know, I don't think it would be easy for somebody just to go in and, you know, match or fake these results, kind of, you know, it seems to me like.
Agreed. You can't. So let's talk about that for just a minute. So another way, it's evolutionary, right? So if you know people that take trip on psilocybin or any kind of mushrooms, right? There's group hallucinations. So you get 10 guys, everyone's tripping, and everyone sees the exact same thing in this altered state. But they don't, you know, when they all come down, they're like, wow, did you see that? Yeah, man, it was crazy. That's it. It's dismissed and it's done. Nobody tries to reproduce it because you can't reproduce that state. What if, in fact, their brains were in a certain frequency, right? Their brains were at a certain frequency. What if I was in the room and I was a control, right? And what if I'm seeing the exact same thing they're seeing? Now we're on to something. Right. And then another thing, that's one thing. What if another person that has upside vision, what if we're in the same room together and we can, in fact, see the same exact image and both influence at our own time? Now we're talking nonverbal communication, telepathy, psi, something that clearly would want to be studied. There's nobody, I don't think, that would not want to study that, except for somebody's afraid of whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the mainstream scientific paradigm wants to study that. I mean, they just want to keep ignoring the results from places like IONS.
Have you met anyone else with it then?
So you know? I have not met anyone else with it to my degree, but I'm in contact with a woman who, after conversations, because I kind of can ask questions to see how serious they are and how far they are. I think she does have it, and I'm going to meet with her. She's in Oregon now. And again, I'm on the East Coast. When she comes back here, I plan on meeting with her. I'm hope to meet with her in the next 90 days and see if what I think could happen does in fact happen. But let's say it didn't happen. It doesn't mean it can't. It just means the circumstances aren't right, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ruled out some sort of synesthesia?
Well, I think it is some sort of synesthesia. I think it has that element to it for sure.
I think it has an element. Like smell and colors or some shit, if I remember correctly. But this could be like something like that. It sort of seems like it could be an offshoot of that.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think it has that element to it.
Interesting. So somebody in the chats here says, Suckley Eye or something. He says, or she says, sounds like he's connecting to people, us, outside the simulation.
Look. It does feel like that too. It does feel like there's, you know, I'm connecting to some kind of matrix, you know, and it's not like there's a way out either. That's what's so wild. It's not like I see these, you know, if you want to use a Matrix movie, it's not like I see these beings controlling us. I do not see that at all. You know, I see, sometimes I see beings, but I see them stumble around. But this is a perfect example. If you, a 3D world, if you walk into a forest or a jungle, right, and you stick your head in the jungle, you see all these beings are there, or you don't see them. There's tons of living creatures there. Some of those creatures notice us. Some of them completely ignore us because they don't care about us. So when I'm doing upside, some of these things pay attention to me, and most of them just ignore me. The ones that do, that's where, again, more testing needs to be done. Other people should see if they have it. Let's see if we can all see the same thing. There's so many opportunities to talk about, but you just need to get people to agree that it's worth looking into, as opposed to just like this woo stuff, as opposed to just being some woo element.
What about, I mean, I keep coming back in my head to these organizations like the Rosicrucians or something, like these real like adepts that have this ancient wisdom. They practice this stuff. I feel like they could really answer a lot of this or help you develop it or something. I mean, I know that you want to stay in the mainstream scientific thing, but I just don't know if that's got the potential to develop it, to do anything but just try and do these measurements for it. You
know? No, I agree. And that was my first path. Right. Since IONS, I'm like, you know what? I need to have more of an open mind, which is kind of funny. I need to think about something like that. And you know what? People do reach out to me all the time and talk about it. So maybe that will happen after this call. You know, I'm absolutely open to working with somebody to learn more about it.
Yeah. It seems like it's very magical in a way, too.
So you've been clean the whole time.
What's that? Yeah.
You've been clean. So you haven't tried mixing it with some shrooms or see if you can spice it up with a little LSD.
No, I don't want to do that. Now I've been under doctor prescriptions for things from time to time, but no, I don't need to, that's the other thing, you know, and I don't want to pick up again, you know, just because I ground myself in my physical health. I'm an active runner, an athlete. I work out every day. You know, I run every morning. I lift every other day. So I really take care of my physical body because it helps ground me mentally for not picking up again. But also it helps ground me in this, using this.
Yeah. That's what one of the best remote viewers in the world said about that.
Now that I did not know.
Joseph McGonagall said, like, physical health is very important for the spiritual aspect because it sort of lends itself to probably enabling you to see or feel more, you know?
It absolutely feels that way. So I told you guys earlier that it's maybe in the afternoon it's stronger, but when I am after a workout, I don't know if it's stronger, but it's, you know, it's almost maybe it's easier for me to plug in. Again, it's always easy to plug in, but I don't know. It's hard to explain until you do it.
Let's go back to the genesis of how this happened then, because I don't want to run out of time. And I mean, because I'm in recovery too, coming up on like 16 years, but I went through some crazy sort of cocaine experiences as well, right? So I kind of know what it was like for you. I mean, I saw some things that I thought were real at the time. Now I don't even fucking know if they're real. But what?
I never got no hallucinations off the cocaine.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. I mean, it's because I was in psychosis, right? I think it was like, you know, after, you know, if you use it too much and too long without sleep and with drinking, like you end up in a pretty crazy, like hallucinogenic state.
Yeah. So my book is called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness. It's available on Amazon if anyone's interested. The first 2/3 of it is kind of like a family drama and what happened and my stories about being run out of hotels because I thought demons were chasing me, leaving all my luggage with all the legal problems and being homeless. The last 1/3 of it is trying to find answers to what happened to my brain, how I can see this state. But when I was actively psychotic, there were not as many hallucinations. In fact, very few. However, there were psychotic thoughts. So I would have a thought and I believed it to be true. Let's say I read an article and I say this in the book about something about local sheriff has affair with local woman. In my mind, I'm like, oh, my wife's sleeping with a cop. That's it. And then I would believe it, right? Then I believe it. That's how bizarre and wild it was. I thought my kids were replaced by alien doppelgangers. I mean, I was so completely out of touch with any reality. So when I stopped using, I still had this. It took a minute to get my brain back. It really to recalibrate. It took a minute. And I still had psychotic thoughts, but they were less and less. And they finally went away. But this visual, whatever opened up and kept open. And by the way, the year that I was completely, you know, on all kinds of drugs, I did shrooms. I mean, I did use and have hallucinations the year I was using.
So you went 5 years sober and then you relapsed for a year?
Yeah, I did.
For
yeah,
a whole
I
did. Year?
I went 5 years sober and I just picked up. I got bored. I was into triathlons and everything like that. And I just picked up. And this time it was different. This time it was a little bit different. You know, they say die or whatever. You
ruin the recovery ruins your using.
Yeah, exactly. And it did. But that, again, that was a dozen years ago now, or 11 years ago. Yeah, so it was a long time ago. And it's weird. It's funny. It's wild to think about that. It was, somebody asked me the other day, they're like, do you ever think about, you know, the things that your family went through? My children are grown men now, you know, they're 25 and 28 and, you know, they remember it because they were in middle school and stuff. And I was crazy dad, you know what I mean? But right now we're so much closer and they remember it, but it's not like, they don't think of me like that. They don't think of the horrible things that happened. They think of, okay, dad's got this wild ability. You know what I mean? He's looking for answers and he's, you know, he's talking about it on podcasts. It's cool. But they know me now as clean and sober for a long time.
Yeah. So you didn't have any physical hallucinations in your first, like before you got sober for the 5 years, did you have any like psychosis?
No, nothing
like that.
Nothing.
Eh?
No, that's what was so wild too. I knew something in my brain. And I think that's important for this, for me on this journey. You know, it's funny. Yeah. At first I was like, wow, since I was psychotic and crazy and had a mental illness, no one's going to believe me. But in a really weird way, it grounds the conversation because people are saying, well, do you think you're going crazy? I'm like, actually no, because I was crazy. And here's a reference. You know, and here's what it was like. So it's all in a weird way, you know, it was like, it's this starting point of this new life that's happened. People say that, it's like, no, it's not the case at all.
Well, and it plays such an important part because, so you didn't, even for that year of relapse, you didn't have any physical hallucinations or psych?
No, I had psychotic thoughts. I was absolutely psychotic thoughts. I would go down.
I was expecting to hear the
rabbit holes of government following me around.
Oh yeah,
followed around. That was without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, you know, this traditional paranoia. Somebody's outside the window. That classic cocaine use.
Well, I mean, I used to have that, but I used to see them out there too. You know, you'd see them like you'd have.
Maybe I did, but it's not. You know, yeah, for sure I did. What do you think about it like that? Sure,
yeah,
but I. You know, it happened all, that was high all the time, you know, you kind of thought it was part of what you were doing.
And that's why I think it's such an important part too, because with that 5 years of sobriety and then, you know, sort of triggering that whole brain mechanism again, you know, that whole, you know, the rush, the dopamine, all that, like you could have opened something up during that process or triggered some sort of mechanism or something.
No, Graham, I think that's what happened. I mean, it was like this perfect storm of all this stuff. The first drug use, then getting extremely physically fit, right? Yeah. And then picking up again. And my brain just flashed open, believing crazy things. And then just trauma. I mean, PTSD, there's no doubt that I had PTSD. I mean, you go from owning, and my book starts with me literally spilling the, entering a kerosene on my back patio and lighting it on fire. I wanted to burn my house down because I thought the helicopters were going to come around and see, everyone would see what was going on in the house. I mean, you know, that's how sick I was. Yeah. That's how the book starts. And thank God I called the cops called the fire department and said, listen, somebody set the house on fire.
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Right. That's what I told them.
So when did you first notice it then? Like, what was your first experience then when you were using for a year there? And like, because I guess it happened towards the end of that, right? Because this is part of your second sobriety story, right?
So the funny thing is the first time I did see it, I was actually on coke. That's what's so wild. So here's what I'm sitting on the couch. I do a bump of coke. I see four distinct images. Holographic form. Number one, the back of a dinosaur. Number two, red blood cells moving through the body. Number three, a slot machine. And number four, the Grim Reaper. All those things happen. No shit, right? And I think there's a little symbolism in those that I sometimes think about when I want to play around. And then I was like, okay, that was like a catalyst. I'm like, holy shit, if I could see this while I'm sober, it's going to change. You know, I'm like, it's going to change the world. I had that grandiose thought. And I mean, I think it is going to change the world, but I don't have grandiose thoughts anymore. I have extraordinary thoughts because this is an extraordinary thing. You know, this is not, I can't pretend this is not unusual. You know, I can't pretend that.
And you're not acting like the chosen one, you know, I mean.
No, I'm just, good God. Actually, look, the Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness, for like 2 weeks, I thought I was Jesus. Because you want to know why? A synchronistic event. I'm in rehab. So during the year, even 3 months in, I'm like, I got to get clean and sober if I want to figure out what's going on. This is before the hallucinations, just the psychosis. I'm in rehab and the synchronicity happens. I'm holding a Bible and I have a fruit punch in my hand. The fruit punch spills out and it splashes on my knees. I opened the Bible passage and it said, and the blood spilled on the garment of Jesus. Something like that. And like, that's it. I'm Jesus. I'm telling you, it was insane. And then that bar was too high. I didn't stay Jesus. It was just too, and I know that psychotic thought now, but at the time for a couple of weeks, I was like, or a couple of days, I was like, okay. But then you realize, wait, that's just a coincidence. These synchronistic events are really extraordinary and they can point to things, but they don't mean are real. They're just kind of, it means, you know, it's the universe winking and saying, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. I had a synchronicity in rehab with a book as well.
No joke.
So I was avoiding this Qigong class because they had Qigong class every morning. And I was just waiting for it, but I was in, like, I just got there and I was super tired, of course, right? I mean, I was sleeping for as much as I could for a few days there. I finally go to Qigong and I had the most amazing Qigong experience. I thought, that is incredible. And at the time I was reading to the group for some stupid reason, I was reading, and myself, but I was reading Eckhart Tolle's New Earth, right? So that night after the first day I did Qigong, that night we're in the group and I've got my book out and I open it up and the first word I looked, just random page, the first word I looked at the word Qigong in there. And it's probably the only place in the book that word is there, but I just happened to just pick out that one word out of everything. And it was, that was pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, Qigong
then?
What's that?
Did you go to Qigong?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was like, I kept going. Yeah, it was awesome.
I would have still quit. I would have said, fuck you, universe.
You know what? That is a fair comment, man. That is an absolute fair comment. And I feel it too.
Nice try. Hey, do you have that book? One of my guys is going to rehab.
Me?
What book?
The one you were talking about there. Maybe I'll give it to
him. Oh, the Eckhart Tolle book. The New Earth.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
He's about to have a bunch of time on his hands.
Oh, is he?
You're in like, you didn't get sent there by the court, so you checked yourself in, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I
but
yeah,
it's the I, one I, you can't I, leave.
This one, you, right? Well, yeah.
He's this not one allowed to leave.
Right, yeah, I could leave. I just couldn't come back, I guess. You're allowed to leave, but you can't come back, yeah. But it was good. I mean, that was the best thing I had done, is go to that recovery place.
Yeah. Recovery, you know, it works. You know, maybe the first one doesn't, but sometimes if you want it to work eventually and things get shitty enough.
Yeah.
Is there a benefit to the brain pattern if we just take the hallucination or the holographic, the upside effect out of it? Is there like what else can we do in that brain pattern? Have you looked into that at all? Like, is that because it's,
oh, you mean with ions, with the one they showed, the EEG?
Yeah. Like, because you're putting your brain into some sort of altered state, you know, is it opening it up for maybe you could learn stuff faster? Or maybe
So Darren, so that's wild that you asked that. So so I can't answer that question from my perspective, but I know this. There is a pharmaceutical company in Portugal that is doing research with an American institution for Alzheimer's patients, right? To try to actively change the brain states because they think if they activate, again, I think it's the left prefrontal something. I can't think of what it's called. You know, it kind of slows down Alzheimer's. So they're looking at that now. Now, the thing that intrigues me about that study is that why are they looking at that? Because that they're using electromagnetic waves to stop it. That's not pharmaceutical. So I'm wondering, you know what I mean? So the fact that they're looking at it, there's somebody that's studying that wave state to help stall the spread of Alzheimer's. At least that's if I understand the study correctly. So I'm not doing it, but somebody else is.
I wonder if they'll see the stuff as a side effect.
What's that?
I wonder if they'll see the upside as a side effect.
You know what? Well, funny you say that. I think they have. I think that's part of the study because they said so, there was another part, and I don't want to go into it because I don't remember too much, but how there was other side effects from this, and they were more like telepathy or something like that. There were some other side effects. That's in fact why I clicked on the article.
Well, I heard you say something about telepathy too that I wanted to mention because it was really fascinating because, you know, people are worried about, you know, like Joe Rogan even talks about it a lot. Oh, eventually we'll be able to read each other's thoughts and all that. But the way you describe the potential is like different layers, right? Like we might be able to be a group telepathy that we can sort of handle. That doesn't mean it's going to go into my deepest, darkest thoughts and desires, but.
No, well, and because whatever's doing it with me, it's happening now. So there's this in-between space. Think about it. It's just like a thought. If you have a thought, and you just like you voice your thought, right? So there is I call remote viewing the in-between place, right? If somebody can get in your lucid dreams like in Inception, forget it. We're screwed then because then they could dive into everything we're doing. I don't know if that's possible, but this remote viewing space, this common area where we can see other beings and see other things, I think we can also telepathically communicate with them, or at least holographically is what I call it, and it's safe. It's not you're sharing a thought with them that you're willing to share. Now, obviously, that's just my perspective right now. I could come back in a year and say that's not okay because it's so new. And again, people have studied telepathy way longer than I have, and they have a lot more research on it. But from my experience, there's definitely a safe place where people can communicate without talking, non-verbally, non-sign language, at least holographically. So I imagine a thought too.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we've been saying that they've sort of suppressed our awareness about how special we are as human beings and how powerful our brains are. You know, somebody was mentioning in the chat there how the brains can do as many functions, you know, that it's interesting to see this manifestation because I feel like we have a lot of power to manifest, a lot of power to heal, a lot of different powers that they don't really want us to be aware of.
Listen, if I'm any indication, you know, there's no doubt that's the case. The question is, how do we turn them on without, I don't want anyone to go through. That's another thing. I don't want anyone to have to go through what I went through, right? Maybe we can turn them on without trauma. Maybe if we know this from a young age, and when we see something as a kid, like, hey, mom, I see this. She's like, oh, well, let's look at that. You know, let's learn. Let's educate ourselves on that and let's explore it. That's the future. That should be the future.
Did you have any experiences as a 7-year-old or younger?
Like, no, none that I remember. And both my parents are dead, so I can't ask them. But no, none that I remember.
Yeah, because you hear that with, you know, the first 7 years. And then, you know, after that, it kind of changes to the next stage. But within that first 7 years, kids have all kinds of crazy experiences. And you're right. I mean, most people probably just poo-poo the whole thing instead of like getting them to dig into it a little bit more.
So there's a disease called Charles-Binet syndrome, right? It happens when you have macular degeneration of the eyes. When somebody is going blind, some people have the ability to see these cartoons. They come into their vision and they're going blind, but they're seeing these things. And from my perspective, it's like the brain is screaming, saying, hey, hold on a minute. Even though we can't see that way, we can see this. So some people with Charles-Binet syndrome have learned that they can interact with them the same way I'm talking about. Others want drugs so they go away. But some people have learned that they can live with them and they could play with them, right? So if I wonder if I could communicate with somebody that's got Charles-Binet syndrome.
Oh, that's
that would be very, very cool. That would be very cool.
We had, what was her name, Darren? We had her on the show. I'll remember it in a couple minutes, but it was about the superhuman documentary that she did. And there's groups of people all over the world. There's some in Russia, some in here in the States, and they're training kids. Kids learn it especially easier compared to adults, but how to see without their eyes. So they're blocking out their vision and they're able to see some other way. I mean, and maybe Carolyn, that's developing. Carolyn Corey. Carolyn Corey. I would look up Carolyn Corey and her work on that. And I mean, maybe that's very similar. You know, if people can see without their eyes, maybe that triggers the same thing. I mean, even get them, somebody that can see without their eyes, get them into that ions thing and see what they're
doing. I would love to do that. Hopefully somebody will come forward with that. Yeah, for sure. I've speculated on that for the longest time.
Yeah, she's great. And
She is. I saw in the film you're talking about. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
can you make can you make something that like we could see? Can you make something in my room? Can you do it like through a TV screen? Because you know,
so
like,
I've tried this. Wait, hold on, Darren. I've tried. It's gonna fit. It just doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. I can't. I think if you were in a room. So all right. So here's a story. Here, let's talk about this. So I'm in the elevator a couple of months ago. I'm going to meet somebody to talk about this and tell them about it, right? I'm meeting with a lawyer and another guy. And they're like, well, can you do it for us now? And I'm like, yeah, I can do it, but it may not be helpful. Don't expect anything. I'm going to see it, but we're talking about this story over here, but I'm going to show people making a pizza. So I do it. I look over to it. I'm like, guess what, guys? I'm seeing a brand new sports car in a showroom. And I look at them both. And I have no idea what that means. Right? The guy pulls out his iPhone. He goes, I just bought a sports car. And I'm like, oh shit. I mean, that was even a haul for me. I was like, wow. Right. So there's an element of that I don't know how to control. And I don't know if I want to spend time right now looking into that. That's like part two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to find more people right now. That's your goal.
Right. And so the point is, I get it. If you were in the room, I may be able to pick up something, but long distance, I've tried it and it's a fail. I know it's not worth the energy. Yeah.
Huh. So what have we left out so far before we wrap this thing up? Anything that you want to talk about before we?
No, I have if you think you have it, go to Upside Vision on Facebook and you'll see a website. It's like a kind of support group. There's eight of us. And I don't even know, Upside Vision on Facebook. If you leave a comment, if you think you might have it and we can connect, you can follow me on Twitter, Tom E. Matt, M-A-T-T-E. Yeah, those two things. If you just want to follow the story that, you know, and again, if you know, I tell you what, I think other people are going to come forward and you might hear somebody that has this and, you know, and people are going to connect. I really, really believe that. And I think other people, and you know what's fun? This is complete speculation. You know how we're looking at our phones? I didn't even talk about this. We will finish on this note. The year I was psychotic, I had the headphones in with the dangly, the old Apple ones, right? From 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I looked at my phone all the time. I did not engage with anybody. Right. So I think that did something, Graham. And this is to your point about your brain states perfectly. I looked at my phone a lot. I was hyper focused on that small screen. This is what's happening now with every kid. They're being raised on these phones. They're being raised at this look at this thing in front of them, a small screen. Maybe there's something going on with the brain that is upregulating a gene and it's going to open something up. So maybe we're conditioning people to see that whether we know it or not, something opening in the brain, whether we know it or not.
And what about mediums? Like you mentioned that area in the that time in the elevator, what about mediums or clairvoyance? Like when a clairvoyant sees something in the future or sees that, do they have that, but they don't realize they have it? You know, I mean, maybe there's a
percentage. That's a great question too. That's a test, right? I need to go with somebody who is a medium that can see these images. If they're sitting there going, I see a yellow scarf and a goat and a woman in a black dress. If I'm seeing a freaking black woman, now we're talking, right? But I don't want to go to I'm not big on going to a creepy haunted house. I'll go to Skinwalker Ranch. I'll do that all day long.
That's not, I mean, that's worse than a haunted house.
Maybe it is. They talk about the hitchhiker effect. You know, have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, and this is goes to what I said, when you look into these unknown places and the thing sees you and it knows it can engage you, it's like, hold on a minute, this guy sees me? It's like a kid catching something in a forest and bringing it home. They could follow you home because they know you see them. But I feel kind of protected by whatever has got, I feel like there's something that's got my back in the organic metaverse. That's what I call it. I feel like something's got my back. But you know, I'm willing to take that risk for science.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Right.
Tom. Oh yeah. Yeah. This has been great. Where can people get the book? Where's the plus best place to buy it? Social media, websites, all that stuff.
Yeah, but Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir on Madness is available on Amazon. You can get it digitally, buy it, ship it to your house, whatever works. And again, Tommy Matt on Twitter and Upside Vision on Facebook. Those are the places you can reach me if you want to follow my story or if you think you have it or you just want to connect and send me a message. This has been great, guys. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Matt is M-A-T-T-E if people are trying to spell that out.
Yeah, thank you, Darren.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, yeah. Matt, or Tom, Matt. Have a great time.
Thank you, Darren. Thanks, Graham.
See ya. Thanks, Tom.
Ciao.
Ciao.
And that was a chat with Tom, Matt. What'd you think?
That was fun. That was great.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Up Dog.
I don't know what that is.
What? You're supposed to say, what's up, dog? You ruined it.
That reminds me of Darren. Did you know that people in the audience oh my God, see, I just ruined the joke right there.
There you go.
they've been possessed. Darren, the people in the audience have been possessed by an owl.
What owl?
You're supposed to say who?
Oh, we better just stay away from the jokes. We're not meant to be comedians, I guess. Big thanks to Tom for coming on the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks if you're one of our supporters. You know what to say. Support the show, please. It's a value for value show. It's not free. It seems free. It's free. You can get it for free. 645, 46, 47 episodes by the time this one comes out. All out there, all available for free. But if you're getting some value from them things, you could send a little value back our way. You could sign up for one of those monthly donations that really help us keep things going around here. Or you can send a one-time donation and we will read your note on the show and, you know, make your Grimerica famous. Thank you publicly. And you're supposed to say, someone told me you sound like an owl. Is that how you say it?
Thanks. And just for the people that are watching, we're coming back. We'll be back in like a half hour with a live show about the fertility crisis on Grimerica Outlawed.
I don't have that problem. I'm too fertile. Anyway. Big thanks to Tom for coming on the show. Grimerica.ca/support, guys. If you can, when you can, send some value back our way. We'd be forever grateful. Hey, some ways you can send some value back our way that don't cost you anything. We understand times are tough. You can share the show because it's hard to find us. So if you just share us around, that'd be great. You can watch Adult Brain on YouTube. Adult Brain Audiobooks YouTube channel has a bunch of great audiobooks for free. You can share the audiobooks, adultbrain.ca, with people that like audiobooks. And you can watch Grimerica Outlawed and share that. Spamgram. All sorts of great ways to support. So, by the way, the eclipse is coming up and it's selling fast. Contact at thecabin.com if you want to come and hang out with us at the eclipse. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week. In a storm in Bermuda.
So many cigarettes, so profusely, so profusely.